everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday. We made it, huh? Another week. Actually, the first Friday of December, December 4th, 2020, bringing folks together right here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk, KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts of my program, BuckmasterShow.com. We've got pretty much now 10 years of Buckmaster shows archived. Our we'll have a full decade and begin the 11th year in early January. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we like to do a big shout out to our media partners, including TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, I'm going to go one-on-one with Chuck Ryan. Chuck is the 28th fire chief of the Tucson Fire Department, and he began his career in Tucson September 30th of 2019. Chief Ryan has extensive work in the fire service. He's really been involved in the fire service since 1994. He joined the fire department in Fairfax County with the fire and rescue department, where he was an assistant fire chief. Chief, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me here.
When we had you on the program the first time several months ago, we had you on the phone, so now I can talk to you eye to eye. There you go.
It's nice to be person to person.
Yeah. How is it going, the transition here for you from Virginia to Tucson? How do you like living here?
I absolutely love it. It's been a great transition. It's certainly very different than the National Capital Region in Northern Virginia. But my wife and I love the Tucson lifestyle. We love the Sonoran Desert and everything that Tucson and the surroundings have to offer. So it's been incredibly smooth, far smoother than I would have anticipated.
One thing that wasn't smooth is what hit us in March. Everybody had to kind of punt and kind of regroup, including police and fire. Yeah. How has it affected your department?
So it's certainly changed the way we've done business, and it's true for the fire and EMS service nationally. Just in everyday stuff, right? Even in the stations, the firefighters are wearing face coverings, you know, in the stations when they're that communal living style that we enjoy on firefighter shift work. It's our second family, really, has been interrupted or disrupted in that fashion. But our interactions with the community certainly have not been optimal in the sense that we don't get to engage the way we used to. We're looking forward to getting back to that sooner, hopefully rather than later. But just in terms of how we handle calls and the types of personal protective equipment we have to use, and how we engage with our patients when we encounter them in their homes and businesses now is all been changed, at least until this wave of virus passes us.
How many people are associated with the fire department in Tucson?
So total workforce is just around 690, but I have 632 very dedicated uniformed men and women, firefighter, paramedics, and EMTs.
How many are paramedics out of that group?
A smaller number, about 70. Mm-hmm. Everybody is at a minimum an emergency medical technician, a basic EMT. Mm-hmm. But then we have about 70 folks or give or take, who are paramedics.
So when someone calls 911 and requires some kind of medical assistance in the city of Tucson, it will be a paramedic firefighter that will be responding. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. We have, our deployment model is a little unique, but we have firefighters, we have our medic trucks, our EMS transport units, which have two paramedics each on them. And then some of our suppression trucks, our engines and ladders, also have paramedics as well.
Is that the way it typically works in a fire department in a major city?
Actually, no. Most major cities do not deliver ALS, advanced life support, paramedicine from their suppression apparatus. It's changing, but it is a unique, still a relatively unique model in the urban firefighting environment.
You got a couple of the fire department was awarded recently two pretty good sized federal grants. Articulate that for us. How is that going to help your business?
Sure. Thanks for mentioning that. So, yeah, we were the recipients of two 2019 federal grants. One is known as a SAFER grant, and the acronym stands for Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response. And the neat thing about that grant is it's a three-year grant. It's about $1.8 million per year for three years, so a total of $5.4 million. And that money can be used to offset, if you will, firefighter salaries and benefits. Normally, SAFER grants require the awarded municipality to actually add to their headcount, right? So we'd have to go above 632. Because of COVID and all the uniqueness that has brought, the federal government changed the grant requirements. And so we were very lucky to have been selected for a grant that does not require us to add positions, but gives us some relief in our personnel costs. So that's one. The other grant's an AFG grant, or Assistance to Firefighters grant, and that's a little over $1.3 million. That's a one-time grant that's for training, and we were awarded that so that we could run a 20-person paramedic school next year.
And that is a certification group then? Our certification is the goal of that grant,
That's
right?
Correct. So those 20 Tucson firefighters who are currently emergency medical technicians basic level will come out on the other side of that program as nationally registered paramedics.
Is certification a stringent process, Chief?
Very much so. Uh-huh. Yeah, very, very much so. The paramedic certificate, it's a college course. It's a college level pre-medicine course.
Yeah, when we talk about staffing of you're mentioning over 600 in the department. The city of Tucson is a mid to major size city. How does the fire department stack up in terms of per capita, per capita services?
So, in terms of some of our more comparable cities, if you look at Albuquerque. Omaha, Nebraska is a good comparator in terms of population size and city size. City of El Paso, Texas, we're a little bit smaller. The city and the fire department, as I've learned historically, went through a little bit of a downsizing back during the recession years. Certainly, my goal and objective is to let me state this as a baseline, Bill, just to be sure, to make sure the listeners understand. They are more than well covered and protected 24/7, 365.
And that's the basic concern of everybody listening to this program.
Exactly.
That if they have a fire emergency, they want to get on the phone on 911, and they want a response as quick as humanly possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. But my goal as fire chief is to grow this department within the economic confines that we have. And certainly my boss, the city manager, Mr. Ortega, and I have had good conversations about that and how we get there and when we get there to that growth to bring us back to a little bit higher level of staffing, which will provide some relief for our crews. This is a very busy fire department. Tucson is a city with urban challenges, as you know. And that does put a burden and a strain on the system and our personnel. So the goal will be to grow the department, perhaps incrementally as the economy allows, but looking to keep pace with the growth that the city is certainly experiencing. You can see it all around.
Chief Ryan, what are the response times? Are they where you want them to be? First of all, perhaps you could articulate how many stations do we have within the city?
So we have 22 fire stations within the city, one of which is dedicated to the Raytheon facility. We basically provide a contracted service there, but we do have a station on the Raytheon plant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's been since about 2015, I believe. It predated me, but that's an agreement that was worked out, an intergovernmental agreement.
I mean, that makes sense. There's like 10,000 employees there.
It's like a small city.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And the firefighters that work there, because of the unique processes and business that takes place at that facility have some specialized knowledge about what goes on there.
Sure, sure.
So our response times you asked about,
we're
hitting the mark. There are certainly some areas where we would like to do better. And it's all a function of time of day and how busy we are. You know, the assumption is that every firehouse has a fire truck in it waiting to respond to a 911 call.
That is what people would think.
Right. But 911 calls come in 24 hours a day,
sure.
And those trucks are moving around. And so there may be an event in one area, and then there's a second event, and it's going to take a little longer to get to that second event because the closest units are committed. So it's a little bit of a fluid structure, but it works, and we are close to hitting the mark on our response times in most areas of the city.
And what would that be, the response time, the average?
Our objective is to get a unit on scene within 6 minutes. Yes, within 6 minutes of the dispatch. So, and that can be, again, depending upon time of day, traffic concerns, what's going on with the streets, can be a challenge. And again, where those units are responding to and where they're responding from.
Chief Ryan, is that a national standard based on the size of a city? Are there these parameters?
Yeah, yes. Okay. There are some nationally accepted standards that are looked to, both in terms of turnout time, meaning from the time the alarm comes into a station till the time the truck leaves the station, and then from the time the truck leaves the station till it arrives at an incident. And then there's further national standards with respect to what's called developing an effective firefighting force on scene within so many minutes of the first unit's arrival. Those are all benchmarks that fire departments nationally strive to adhere to.
It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our visit today with Chief Chuck Ryan. He is the fire chief in the city of Tucson, going one-on-one with the chief, learning more about our fire department here in Tucson, which has a very rich history, doesn't it, Chief?
Indeed. The department was founded in 1881.
Wow.
So there's a lot of history and tradition here.
With the old pumpers, horsing the pumps, right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, we're going to pause right here, Chief. We're going to hear from our great sponsors, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Chief, we're asking all of our guests here during the holidays, when it comes to the holiday pies, Chief Ryan, do you go more for the traditional pie? Are you a pumpkin guy? What's your preference?
I am more traditional. I love a good pumpkin pie or pecan pie.
There you go. Well, Steve and his team up at Mona's Danish Bakery can certainly take care of Chief Ryan and any of our listeners who have a request for the Christmas holidays. What kind of pie would you like on your Christmas table? And what about your dinner rolls? But a great way to start Christmas morning or Christmas Eve morning would be a Danish Kringle. It's a beautiful, large, flaky pastry that's filled with a variety of different flavors. We brought one into the station courtesy of Mona's last week that was filled with an almond paste. And I'm telling you, Chief, it was gone. We have a reduced staff here at the station right now, of course, because of COVID protocols. But the people were here that were here finished that baby in record time. So there you go. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. One of the great sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. We'll continue our conversation with Chief Ryan. Any a listener who wants to call in with a question or comment about the fire department, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks. A modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants are collecting food this month for the Community Food Bank with $5 off your meal when you bring in five cans for the food bank. That's all happening at the three Jam-owned restaurants. Their locations, two of them, the Vero Mori locations, authentic Neapolitan pizza and Noble Hops craft beer up in Oro Valley. Also, each restaurant is doing a gift card promotion. Buy $100, get a $25 gift card. Happy holidays from Jam Culinary Concepts. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now our Friday Focus interview with the Tucson's Fire Chief Chuck Ryan, who's been with the department September of 2019. So he's been with the department about a year and a half.
Close to it.
There you go.
Yep.
Chief, people are confused when they call 911 about the county or the city. Is there a central location for emergency calls in this area?
Yes. So the City of Tucson's Public Safety Communications Department serves the 911 calling area for the city limits and some of the surrounding areas that are served by Northwest Fire District, by Golden Ranch Fire District, certainly City of Tucson Fire. The Rural Metro folks who live in the Rural Metro subscription area have their own fire dispatch. And then Pima County also has a dispatch center for other fire districts around the area. So it's a little bit of a collection of dispatch centers, but City of Tucson's Public Safety Communications Department has what's considered for the general Tucson metro area, we would say.
That's been upgraded, hasn't it, that center?
It has been. It's in the process of being upgraded.
The upgrade is ongoing.
Ongoing. I think it's been reimagined a couple of times. The director there, Ms. Jamie O'Leary, is doing great things. And
I think we had Jamie on. She came from Oklahoma City.
From Oklahoma City, yeah.
So, real sharp lady.
Yep.
All right. Ingrid has called us at 790-2040. Ingrid, you are on with the fire chief, Chuck Ryan. Go ahead.
Hi, Chief. I'd like to know what the extent of your duties and capacities are. Do you get involved with calls? I know you address carbon monoxide.
Right.
But do you address issues where people are complaining about other kinds of fumes that are coming in, especially where there's negative physical responses involved, and there's a suspicion of illegal activity? How far do you go into something like that?
So to answer the question more fully, somebody would have to generate a fire department response. It would have to be something along the lines of an odor of smoke or natural gas or propane, that sort of thing, or a chemical odor, right, which would generate a hazardous materials response. In terms of illegal activity, I'm not 100% sure what you mean, but some of that, if I think what you're alluding to, that'd be more of a police issue than a fire issue. But certainly if there's a suspicion that a fire is involved, then it would generate a fire department response.
There have been a lot of, there's been confusion with COVID-19. People initially were very, very scared, and of course they should be very concerned, and they were calling 911 to get a paramedic to their home. This was overloading the system at one time here back in the spring. How are we doing right now, Chief Ryan?
We're doing okay. We implemented some changes through our medical director and with the agreement of the local hospitals to set up a telemedicine bridge. So if somebody calls the fire department, calls 911 and says they're experiencing, they're either known that they have COVID already or they're experiencing what we call COVID-like symptoms, we will engage them, unless they're immediately critically ill, of course, we will then treat and transport to the hospital. But if they're walking, talking, you know, general feeling poorly but able to carry on the daily business of life, we use a telemedicine. We use an iPhone, and we connect directly. The patient talks to a doctor at the hospital, and based on the vital signs and the conversation between the patient and the physician, a determination is made whether that person really needs to be transported by ambulance to the hospital or if they can go by some other means to urgent care, primary care physician, community health center, or stay at home and care for themselves. So that's one of those differences that I talked about earlier.
Sure.
That transition has helped dramatically cut down on that system overload where we had, you know, all the city has, we have 17 EMS transport units in the city, and to have all of them committed at once is not a good, not a
and
viable
that,
situation.
That was happening
We hit peak load a few times, yeah.
Yeah. We have the holiday season upon us, and Chief Ryan, so many people are telling me, you know, I haven't had a Christmas tree in many, many years, but I'm in the mood. I need something to cheer me up. And a lot of people, and the Christmas tree business is actually booming this year. A lot of people will be getting trees. We're in a very dry situation this year, one of the driest years on record. What kind of tips could you give our listeners that would be very helpful this holiday season?
So I grew up in a home with live Christmas trees. We'd go out and saw one down in the fields every year, and it would stay up until it looked like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree in our house, I think. But that's not the way to go. So I've become a fan of the artificial trees that look very much like the real ones. But I acknowledge the fact that people do enjoy live Christmas trees. So I guess when you're out there, if that's the road you want to go down, you know, check the tree for freshness, give a good tug on one of the branches, make sure all the needles don't come off in your hand. Those trees have been cut for a while and stacked, you know, and transported. So, they're drying out just in our dry environment. When you find that good tree, get it home and by golly, keep it watered, you know, every day, check the water, keep it watered. And the lights that go on it, I really heartily recommend people get away from the old incandescent bulbs that get really hot. You know, go to the LED
type lights.
Boy, I remember
those. Those things could get red hot.
Yeah. And that will help your tree last longer. And then certainly as the Christmas season ends, You know, once the tree starts to drop its needles, it's time to get it out of the house. And certainly, by all means, please keep it away from anything that could ignite that tree. Because
please don't keep it up for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, no, not a good plan. No. Not a good plan.
Looking ahead to 2021, you said there's the Recruit Academy is coming on. You'll have how many new firefighters?
So very excited. We will have 40 new firefighters joining the training academy in January.
Are you looking for firefighters, potential firefighters?
Yes, always. We're really working to expand our recruiting right here within Tucson. You know, there's so much talent here in this area, and perhaps if there's a positive side of the pandemic, if somebody's had a job shift and they're looking for an opportunity to serve and think they could, you know, do this job and do it well, we'd be happy to hear from them. We're not in an active recruitment phase right now, but we will be probably in about 4 months, because it takes a solid 8 to 10 months to get the recruitment process to the point where people are ready to walk in the door of the training academy.
And the door is open to women.
Absolutely. By all means. Every fire chief in this country is looking to have more women in the workforce. It's achievable. It's doable. And there are so many great women out there that could do this job and do it well.
So I think you've got, it's a pretty optimistic look at 2021. Would you say so, Chief Ryan?
I do. I really do. This department is poised. It is a great department, poised to become even greater. And that's not due to me. That's due to the men and women on the street every day delivering the service. But we're excited about the things we can get into. You know, expanding, getting that paramedic class done, and increasing our number of advanced life support trained firefighters will be a force multiplier within this city. And will really be, you know, Tucson's known nationally for its work in fire-based EMS, and this just will keep us ahead of that curve. It really will.
Salary level competitive?
Our entry salary level is competitive. There was a market study done earlier this year. There's a couple of the ranks that are a little bit out of whack in comparison to some other similar cities here in Arizona, and the Southwest. But that's on the city manager's radar. It's on my radar. It's certainly conversations we've had.
And there was one other area with this dry year that we've had. Are your firefighters capable of wildfire fighting?
Yeah, so that's one thing I'm really proud that we have been able to reinvigorate here. The wildland urban interface issue in Tucson is very real, and you know, structural protection is super important, and it with the winds, just the winds over the past couple
of
days,
yesterday,
you know, heaven forbid we get a serious fire going in a wildland urban interface area, because the city could stand to have a major fire on its hands. So to that end, we have grown our wildland program already. We've had some of our firefighters out at the California fires and at the Bighorn fire, getting, there's a task book they have to get signed off to get carted appropriately. So we have a good cadre of folks doing that, who then in turn can become the trainers, right? And we build that capacity within our own department. And we've just purchased, and it's ready to come out to the streets. It'll be at Fire Station 22. It's called a Type 3 Wildland Engine, which will allow, it's a four-wheel drive fire truck suited, specifically designed for wildland firefighting. So it'll allow us not only to protect the residents of Tucson and the surrounding areas, but also when other states call for assistance, we have the ability to provide people and the proper equipment to assist our neighbors.
Good deal. All right, Chief Ryan, I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season. Nice visiting with you. We'll have you on again.
Good seeing you again, Bill. Happy holidays.
Thanks
to you.
Thanks very much. Chief Chuck Ryan, the fire chief in the city of Tucson. Coming up next on the Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Jim Nitzel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim will be up to the plate after we take the mid-show break on Buckmaster on a Friday.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show to the bump music of Chicago and only the beginning. Let's go now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Let's bring in Jim Nintzel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
Doing great today, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. At the top of my list of topics to discuss, Doug Ducey had gone out of his way repeatedly, Jim, to make sure he was on board with the Trump train, and then look what happened this week.
Yeah, it was really remarkable. You had this situation on Monday where Governor Ducey and Attorney General Mark Brnovich and the Secretary of State Katie Hobbs got together to certify the election results, and you had that moment in the middle of it where Governor Ducey, apparently as he was signing, was getting a phone call from the White House. He had told us earlier this year that he had changed his ringtone for the White House to hail to the chief, and as he's laying down his signature there, his phone started ringing with that, and he silenced it. From that point on, it seems as though Governor Ducey has been on the naughty list this year for the Trump administration. It's, you know, this is a phenomenon we're seeing all around the country, far worse, you know, in Georgia, where there are people having their lives threatened. But, you know, the Trump campaign has not had much luck in the courtroom with any of these arguments that they're making about election integrity and fraud in the election. Their cases are for the most part getting simply tossed out. And then you have this sideshow where, since they're not succeeding in the courts, they're trying to get these hearings around the country. And you had a 10-hour hearing here in Phoenix on Monday, at the same time that this certification of the canvas was going on, and you had Rudy Giuliani presenting just wild theories, where he's talking about how there's 5 million illegal immigrants in the state of Arizona when there's only 7 million residents in the state. Yeah, you know, it could well be that Mark Fincham, who was leading this thing, is an illegal alien under Rudy's definition. I don't know, but yeah, it was a somewhat remarkable, 10 hours. This is the kind of stuff, Bill, where, you know, once in a while you'd see some of this kind of craziness going on in the world at these meetings at precinct houses or whatever, and you'd duck in and you'd hear this craziness for 5 minutes and you'd move on. But in this case, it went on for 10 straight hours, which is fairly exhausting, I think, for anybody. But I just think you have this situation in this country now where anybody who says that, you know, this was conducted fairly, that the election did not include massive fraud, is immediately considered, an enemy of the American people by some folks in the Republican Party. And, you know, this sort of thing has been growing for some time. Certainly, you know, the president has encouraged a lot of, embrace of what they call alternative facts. But it has reached a fever pitch at this point. And Doug Ducey, I think, ran for a precinct committee man spot here in Arizona earlier this week. And he came in, I think, in somewhere around 83 or 84th in the race.
What?
But there were 86 slots, so he was able to secure a slot, but just barely. So you can see that among the party activists, there's a lot of unhappiness with Ducey. And on top of that, you have the COVID situation, which is hurting him in the other direction. So his popularity, to no great surprise, is really shrinking at this point. And I think it's going to be challenging for him to take that next political step, whatever it might be, if he ends up in a tough primary race.
Jim Nenzel with us from the Tucson Weekly. And unlike some people that Donald Trump has gone after and they have just remained silent, to his credit, Doug Ducey did fire back a string of tweets to the president.
Yes, he did. He said that, you know, this election did not have fraud. It was not marred by the crazy fraud allegations that are out there from people like Kelly Ward, who is the chairman of the Arizona Republican Party, and many other party folks. And you're also seeing, you know, tension with Mark Brnovich as a result of this, and him saying that there isn't he's not seeing the fraud that other people are. The legislators are now talking about taking back the election integrity body that they funded through his office and taking it back under their own watch. You actually had people going to the Capitol this week and demanding to being very upset with Rusty Bowers, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, a very conservative lawmaker, but still not conservative enough if he's going to embrace what I think most of us view as reality. And you just had this whole counterfactual group in the Republican Party that is out for blood over this election.
Well, this is going to be very interesting as we get into our state elections with the governor and everything else that will be upstate, the top state offices in 2022. The Trump team, which controls the Republican Party here, will primary these people, Jim Nenzel, most likely.
Yeah, they will. And of course, Doug Ducey's wrapping up his second term, so we don't know what his next step is. There are a lot of rumors that he's being courted to run against Mark Kelly in 2022 because Mark is finishing out the late Senator John McCain's term. So he has to run again when that term would normally be up, which is 2 years from now. And, you know, he's clearly shown that he has the ability to raise a great deal of money. He's clearly shown that he can run a campaign that succeeds in Arizona. And we will see who the Republicans end up putting up against him. But, you know, certainly Ducey would be a formidable opponent. But I also hear that he's more of an executive and doesn't want to be a part of a legislative body. So we'll see where he goes and how much this week damages him in that effort, as well as, you know, just the struggles he's had as a result of his response to the COVID crisis, which, you know, obviously a lot of people on the left are criticizing him for not taking stricter steps to try to stem the spread of this virus, which is clearly getting out of control in our state. I mean, these numbers this week were just shocking, 10,000 cases on Tuesday. And I know that's an outlier coming from, you know, a slower count over the holiday weekend. But holy cow, it's you're getting all kinds of warnings from the healthcare executives in this state saying that we've got our hospital beds are overflowing, our ICUs, our ERs, and the state and the local municipalities need to do more to try to slow the spread of this disease.
And then we have nearly 1,000 over 800 cases today alone in Pima County, and I can't recall if that is a record. I think it might be. But it is off the charts, Jim Nensel, and we'll see what action now. There's a special meeting coming up in about less than a little over an hour at 2 o'clock at the boardroom of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, an emergency meeting on COVID. But it boils down, Mr. Nensel, to what really can the Board of Supervisors do right now. The county is part of the state, so in effect, they have to go by technically what Ducey says.
Yes, and he's put out those executive orders saying that counties can't take steps more strict than what he has authorized outside of that mask mandate. And there's some question, you know, under state law, does the county have authority to deal with health and safety emergencies? And if so, does Ducey's executive order countermand that state law? And I think there's a legal question there, and I think the county is going to explore that legal question. I think that's one of the things you'll hear them talking about today, you know, and the question of whether they can do a mandatory curfew like the city has done earlier this week, that 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. curfew, you know, whether they can get more strict with restaurants in terms of mask mandates and requiring people who go to any business to wear a mask rather than making it voluntary, and questions about, you know, whether they can, you know, suspend the licenses of restaurants that aren't complying with the mask mandate. And I think all those are going to be topics of conversations today, as well as, you know, whether they can require businesses to report if they've had a COVID case at their business and things like that. But, you know, they're all steps that you know, they will not solve the problem. I mean, the problem really is that people have a lot of COVID fatigue. They are tired of not being able to see their friends. The holiday season is upon us, and they want to spend time with friends and loved ones and family. And it's just, and of course, we get all these warnings not to do that. So, you know, the question is, what is it you can do to help encourage people to recognize that it's the fact that we're spending time together that is leading to these increases in these cases, because that's how a disease spreads. And right now we are seeing it spread worse than I think it's spread yet in our state. We are well into our second wave.
Just an extraordinary scene with Mark Kelly being sworn in by his side, Gabrielle Giffords. And I was reflecting, you know, we've got the 10-year anniversary of the Tucson shooting coming up on January 8th. We have secured Ron Barber to be our Friday Focus interview that day. But it's really extraordinary when you think, when you see that picture, that image, Jim, of Gabby there next to Mark Kelly, and Gabby back at the Capitol.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, for a long time, people were saying maybe Gabby Giffords is going to run for U.S. Senate in this state. And there was a lot of talk, oh, is she going to run against Jeff Flake way
right.
back in
right. I remember that.
2012? Right. And of course, her career was cut short after that assassination attempt 10 years ago. Very sad day. I think you had just barely gotten your show off the ground.
I did. It was the first week of the show, and the day before that Thursday, we were the last ones to actually media people to do an interview with Gabby Giffords, and we have it all archived.
Yeah, and so to see her back at the Capitol with her husband, Mark Kelly, who now has that Senate seat, is really a remarkable story in Arizona political history. And you know, you add into it that, of course, Martha McSally was the one who eventually ended up knocking out Ron Barber, who you mentioned earlier, who was Gabby's aide and heir apparent in that job. And then to see it turn around that she ended up being the person that Mark Kelly and Team Gabby and Team Kelly faced and defeated really is a remarkable storyline to have followed here in Arizona. And I think it's certainly a victory for Gabby Giffords and Mark Kelly and the people who have been around them for, you know, 15 years in politics in Arizona.
All right, Mr. Nintzel, Jim Nintzel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. What's in the weekly real quickly?
Oh, this week we're looking at Music of the Year. Local albums, our associate editor, Jeff Gardner, put together a really nice look at what's coming out with local albums. Our managing editor, Austin Counts, has a good piece on a new Midtown restaurant, Locale, that's opening up.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote a piece about my friends in Calexico, new holiday album. So check that out, too.
All right, Jim Nintzel, have a great holiday season. We'll be talking to you. Thank you for everything you do as you're contributing to my program. Thank you, Jim.
A happy new year to you and to your listeners, Bill.
Thank you very much.
2021.
All right, indeed we will. Jim Nintzel from the Tucson Weekly. Coming up next, Mr. Matt Russell with Weekend Watch. Buckmaster on a Friday. Be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over in Silver City say, be patient. Once COVID is hopefully behind us in a couple of months, it will be time to get in the car and take the three-hour trip over to a beautiful area of the Southwest, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. But right now, you can start your planning by going to southwestnewmexico.org, and there you will find all sorts of ideas about where to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. You know, just sort of stirring it up, baby, in the Weekend Watch style.
You betcha. Anything going on in Congress and downtown this weekend?
Yeah, you know, jolly old St. Nick is actually going to be making special rooftop appearances this weekend at
what?
The playground downtown, yep, for this year's socially distanced edition of Miracle on Congress Street. Today and tomorrow from 4 to 6:30 and Sunday from noon to 4, Santa himself will wave at and welcome his adoring fans below in front of the Tucson Together mural. And check this out. Kids can drop their letters to Santa in the mailbox there, and they're going to get a free kid scoop of peppermint ice cream from a Hub ice cream truck. And, of course, Mom and Dad will enjoy special holiday-inspired cocktails at Hub restaurant next door. I call that win-win. It's Miracle on Congress Street, and it runs every weekend through December the 19th.
I'm writing my letter right now. I'd love a scoop of that. Peppermint ice cream sounds so good to me. I know you're a big fan of the Whiskey Del Bac.
I am, and tomorrow is the first Saturday in December, which means the annual unveiling of the winter release from Whiskey Del Bac. Now, this is a mesquited single malt whiskey that's worth waiting in line for, and trust me, that's what you'll likely see starting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at the distillery, located at 2106 Forbes Boulevard. Now, this year's blend features a high concentration of mesquite smoke, and since it was finished in used bourbon barrels, it picks up some sweetness that brings notes of black cherry, even cookie dough to the palate. Now, fewer than 500 bottles were made this year. They're only priced at $75 each. They're expected to go quickly. Doors open tomorrow at 8, and I certainly hope I can get there in time.
Do you write more about it in this week's Inside Tucson Business column?
Yeah, the full story behind this particular winter release is in this week's edition of ITB. You bet.
What's going on at the Cork?
Well, you know, Jonathan Landine, longtime culinary icon, he got together with his team at Jonathan's Cork to kind of put their heads together to see how they can help the hungry this year. And they've decided to do a food drive to support the community food bank, with the restaurant kind of designated as a convenient and safe place to drop off donations. So that food drive, Bill, begins today. It's going to continue through December 22nd. And they're really in need of everything from canned tomato products, oatmeal, cereal, peanut butter, so many things. And while you're there, you'll enjoy specials on Cork cuisine, as well as special pricing on cocktails for those who donate. I call it Cork for a Cause at Jonathan's Cork. Starts this weekend. And I just heard on your show, Bill, that our friends from Jam Culinary Concepts are doing the same kind of thing. And what a great thing for local restaurateurs to get together in a way that really helps people in need.
I love it. And thank you so much, Matt. Have a safe weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. My thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, the entire team here at Bustos Media. All of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.